There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
ma'am. Would it make you feel any better if you knew that what we're asking Matt here to do is a holy thing?
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Don't you blaspheme in here. Don't you blaspheme in here. Now, this is my man. This is my restaurant. And you two are going to just walk right out that door without your dry white toast, without your full fried chickens, and without Mad Guitar Murphy.
Now, you listen to me. I love you, but I'm the man and you're the woman, and I'll make the decision concerning my life.
You better think about what you're saying. You better think about the consequences of your actions.
Oh, shut up, woman.
You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Yeah, think. Let your mind go, let yourself be free. Let's go back, let's go way on the back lane. I didn't even know you came to me in too much more than
no. I ain't no psychiatrist. Great talent. Great movie setting for it as well. 1207 FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile on this Monday. Hey, it's Sean Sullivan. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. And of course, we reported this morning, and I'm following this one as well, as the legendary Aretha Franklin, gravely ill. And from the language that's come out from the family, what they're saying about asking for privacy at this time and all those kind of, it just seems to be a tell that this is it looks like it's going to be it. I don't know that. Lord hope it's not, but looks like it's 76 years old, which today, I mean, that's young. According to a TMZ, they say that her family and friends are gathering for the final goodbye. A source, this is from TMZ.com, a source very close to Aretha and a longtime dear friend tells TMZ he was told a week ago, prepare yourself, she's dying. The source adds that Aretha was down to 86 pounds and her health was failing. Wow. Source says 80, yes, I heard him say what back, 86 pounds. 86 pounds. I know. I hear you yelling by that. 86 pounds. They said everyone in Aretha's circle says she could go anytime. Another source, someone who has been close to Aretha for decades. Now, of course, this is coming from TMZ, which, just a side note, TMZ, while it would be easy to just lampoon them on here, if you look at the stats here, they get the story right most of the time. I don't know now, but, I mean, they get the... they say another source, someone who has been close to Aretha for decades, tells TMZ that she has been battling cancer. Now, we have in the news that her health has not been good. And in 2017, she said she wasn't touring anymore, and that was it. She'd been in poor health. This is the first person I've heard, at least this anonymous source here in the TMZ story, says Aretha has been battling cancer. Aretha Franklin, who is 76, has been in poor health the last few years. She's performed only on a limited basis, and most recently last November, news that her health is failing first came from Roger Friedman over at Showbiz 411, and WDIV-TV in Detroit says they have confirmed with Aretha's family she is gravely ill. So we are watching that American icon, an amazing, amazing talent. At 1210 FM Talk 106.5, lots to talk about on today's show, and we'll take you all to a couple stories here locally, stories nationally, and we'll do it with voices from all over. Number one, John Sharp from AL.com joins us at 1:30. I don't know if I first heard about this, I think last weekend, like a weekend ago, not this last weekend, but the weekend before, what had gone on with the Mobile County Public School System before school even got started. Now, this is something I saw pop around on social media. Now, John Sharp has done the full story at AL.com. This question of a prayer or religious content at a Mobile school employee meeting, Mobile County Public School Teachers Institute turned into a religious service featuring a fire and brimstone invocation, according to a watchdog group with a mission to protect church and state separation. Now, that's the Freedom From Religion Foundation has taken umbrage with what happened here in Mobile. John will join us at 1:30 to tell us more about that. Plus, Laura Byrne from the city of Mobile joins us to talk about the maybe vote tomorrow for the Mobile City Council. And what is the question here? What is the last draft of this proposal for funding a portion of the stadium build at the University of South Alabama, money back for Ladd Peebles? We'll get that from Laura Byrne coming up at 1 o'clock. Also, Cameron Smith from AL.com and the R Street Institute joins us in just a few minutes, and lots to talk about with him in state politics, but also, of course, in national politics, as the story has gotten pretty darn interesting here when it's come to the question about, well, here, let's go back and take in the time machine here and lay this out. Let's see.
Is that right? That's your testimony. The will stop it. You were speaking on behalf of the American people.
I don't recall writing that text.
Are you denying writing the text?
What I can tell you is that text in no way suggested that I or the FBI would take any action to influence the candidacy of
Agent Strzok.
Yeah, well, of course, that's Trey Gowdy and Peter Strzok from just about a month and change ago with the Strzok questioning. FBI, I guess, made its decision as of today, and the president has been, imagine that, tweeting about this as the firing of FBI agent Peter Strzok happened just about an hour ago. President Trump saying Agent Peter Strzok was just fired from the FBI. Finally, the list of bad players in the FBI and DOJ gets longer and longer. Shorter by one, doesn't it? Based on the fact that Strzok was in charge of the witch hunt, will it be dropped? It's a total hoax. No collusion, no obstruction. I just fight back. Following a few minutes later, another text from the president said, just fired Agent Strzok, formerly of the FBI, was in charge of the crooked Hillary sham investigation. It was a total fraud on the American public and should be properly redone. The FBI, as you know now, has fired Peter Strzok, and it looks like this is... Well, this is the end of the 60-day suspension. The choice was he was suspended and he could have been given disciplinary action or terminated, and they said they decided to terminate him. So there it is. Strzok is out. Now, the question here is this enough? Is this deep enough? And this is not a rhetorical question, a real question. How far do you go here in this probe for, if you got text messages that showed absolute bias in the case of Peter Strzok, then what about people that were receiving the messages from Strzok, didn't report? I mean, how far do you go with this before you feel like you've cleaned house? Or is that enough? Is this the sacrificial lamb? Which, by the way, I can see it the other way. Is this the firing of Strzok enough? Is that enough? Is that the sacrifice that was called for, and then everything should be okay and get back to normal? We'll talk about this with Cameron Smith and get his take on it. Also, what the latest is in the Alabama ramp up for the gubernatorial. We have an election coming up in November, right? You heard about that? And there's people seem that want certain candidates to debate. That continues. We'll get into that as well. But your comments as well, welcome on the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. And a bunch of questions about the stadium. Okay. You could at 1 o'clock, yes. 1 o'clock, Laura Byrne joins us from the City of Mobile, Deputy of Communications with the City of Mobile. We will talk about the proposed $10 million from the city for the USA Stadium, and then what would happen with Ladd Peebles. That idea is one that's been going on for, what, 6 weeks now, maybe 2 months, this conversation? Supposedly, unless they table it, Mobile City Council will vote on that tomorrow. So, but we'll talk about that coming up at 1. Coming right back, Cameron Smith joins us. And, oh, Chester asking, was there any rattlesnake handling at the school meeting? Not that I know of. But we'll ask John Sharp that as well.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:20, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Monday style. Glad to have you here. Text line, phone line, 343-0106. 88 now at our studios. Dr. Bill says probably heat index of around 100 degrees today, but right now still heat indices in the 90s. Pleasant, refreshing August weather along the Gulf Coast. Let's check in with our buddy from the R Street Institute, AL.com, and now wearing a gamer's headset like he's getting ready to play some first-person player game when he's talking to us. It's Cameron Smith. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. I mean, with this level of intensity, I had to match it with something as ridiculous as this headset.
Okay, and because I've talked you into wearing the headset. I like it. The audio quality is good. I know it's not the best look, and if you're in public, maybe people will point at you, but for right now, keep it up. It sounds great.
No, you know, that's actually a great idea. I could go Sean walking like this and just walk around, you know, the mall and just talk about what's happening.
Well, one of the things I think people will be talking about today is what was just announced about an hour ago, maybe less, a little less than an hour ago, that the 60 days of suspension were up for now former FBI agent Peter Strzok, and he could either have faced demotion or firing, and they terminate him. He's out.
Yeah, and I think this is consistent. I mean, this is what's interesting for me, is the process seems to be working. I mean, the bad actors and folks at the FBI, DOJ, folks that people have alleged, like, well, these people are just out to get Trump. Well, a lot of the people that are out to get Trump are gone, and this is sort of the latest iteration. I think this is good in the terms of this is evidence the process works. There was an investigation here. There was looking into the way people behaved. He was escorted out of the building. He was given his process, and this is the result. And frankly, I think that's a good thing. The idea that, oh, well, this was political one way or another, I just don't see it. I see the process working.
Okay, well, and what about that, whether it's political or not? Because I can see it both ways. I can say what you've said and say, okay, clean slate, now we're moving forward. Those people that were overtly partisan and let that get into their job are removed. That would be part of it, would be good, but also I could argue that it would be nice to say, well, there's another one and another one. From a political aspect, you could, you know, continue to have that stain on the FBI and use that to whittle down any kind of arguments that were made against you, if you're President Trump or somebody else.
Sure, and I think if President Trump thinks that he's in trouble, if he thinks that, hey, these investigations are going to evidence wrongdoing against me or people close to me that I care about, okay, I understand. I mean, that is a legal tactic that somebody could counsel you. Well, try to undermine the prosecutor. In this case, the whole Department of Justice. I don't think that's the way to lead the country. I think if the issue was, hey, there was credible evidence of bias by certain officials, we've investigated that and the process is working appropriately. These general allegations about bias at the FBI, we've heard these from Devin Nunes, we've heard them from others. It's not appropriate. I mean, if you can't answer specifically, well, who at this point, I'm not interested in a general allegation that the Department of Justice or the FBI is somehow anti-Republican or anti-Trump. That just doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so you think in the case of Strzok, that should be, I mean, unless somebody else is pointed to specifically, that should be end of set match in this, right? That now move on?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the idea that, hey, here's somebody who made some poor professional decisions, that those decisions were investigated, they have resulted.
Somebody unplugged the headset. Part of this, here's the IG's report, has referred a total of 5 FBI employees for investigation in connection with those texts. Could there be more? That's my question. You got Lisa Page. Somebody was asking about Lisa Page a second ago. She's out. Lisa Page is out. But who's left? Does that leave 3 or 4? I don't know exactly how they do that. Is Cameron back with us? This thing has been like crazy, and he's got the best setup ever now. He was going great. Hold on, are we going to have to run a new line? Maybe it's on our end. I don't know. Do what you can. Let me know when he is back on with us, and we can grab some of your text and calls in the meantime. Let's see. Lisa Page. What about Lisa Page? What's her situation? Right now, I don't know on the Lisa Page part because she's gone. So, I'm sorry, I think we got Karen back on with us now. People were asking, okay, well, what about Lisa Page? And I said, well, she left the Bureau, you know, earlier in 2018, because they said there were a total of five FBI employees that were connected with this investigation. So I guess, does that mean you were there in Washington? Does the fact that Strzok was fired and we heard about no one else, does that mean they were cleared, or do you think there's still investigations? What does that tell you?
Well, there's a couple things. One, it's either did they commit a crime? For example, if they committed an offense that would have terminated their employment with the Department of Justice and they're gone, well, you can't have a termination hearing for a non-employee. That right, doesn't even right. make any sense.
Right.
If they committed crimes or did something that was illegal, then absolutely. I mean, they could be investigated. They could be charged with a crime. And I have every expectation, if that was the case and that things were referred from the IG or other people, that can take place. If it's these people were politically biased, they didn't commit a crime and we don't like them, well, they're gone. I mean, that's the long and short of it. The notion that, well, they were politically biased, so now we should throw them in jail. Well, that's not scary. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, it is.
Literally crazy talk. So, bad idea.
Yeah, I agree with that. If we start having that kind of test for who goes to jail or not, that is not the republic I want to live in. All right, switch gears then to, see, that one to me is like the hard news story of the day when it comes to the president, but way more attention about Omarosa, right? And I mean, I get why there's a hard news angle here, but it's all kind of done in reality TV style here. What's it question here? Why is it a big deal that she has recordings from inside the White House?
Well, the fact that she was there in the first place is kind of hilarious. This notion of, well, she brought a talent set. It appears from Trump's tweet that the president liked the fact that she said positive things about him. That's his own admission, that's why he kept her around in spite of known trouble, which should raises all sorts of flags. The fact that, I mean, think about it this way. To work with people who feel that the environment is so toxic, they need to record their conversations with people, says one of two things. Either that's the case, and that's what we're dealing with here, or she went into the White House with the intention of doing sort of a tell-all expose type thing, and she wanted to have some recordings. Neither of those is a good situation, because on the one hand, we have a significant problem, and on the other hand, bringing in somebody that has that kind of perspective of I'm going to do this and then trash the administration, it just begs questions about the competency of hiring decisions. So neither one of these potential realities suggests that things are going well. And the fact that the president says, I hate to trash Omarosa, but I have to because, you know, modern media. This just seems ridiculous to me, the whole thing.
But what about the angle? They say she may have violated national security regulations with the recording. Is that? I mean, I guess, you know, you have to tell people this call could be recorded. I mean, what about that? What about the fact that they're saying maybe she violated national security regulations? I mean, what do you have to tell somebody? I mean, I know if you call some 1-800 number, they'll tell you this call may be recorded, right? I mean, should she have to say that, or the fact that she's working in the White House mean, or how about the fact you're working in the White House means you don't record the president?
Well, I mean, yes is the answer. All of that should strike everyone as like terribly awful and weird. The bigger issue is, okay, if she violated federal law and did something that truly jeopardized national security, I think to be consistent, yeah, she should be referred for prosecution and be prosecuted appropriately. If this was not a situation where national security was endangered, but, you know, it was bad employment practices, well, yeah, obviously. I mean, I can't imagine working in an environment where a high-level some person reporting to the president of an organization was just recording conversations at random. If I'm Trump, I'm concerned again, because it seems like a lot of people interacting with him really want to record him, and I don't see any evidence that he's going to curtail his speech.
All right. So this goes where, other than a lot of sales for her book, right? Or does this end up in 2 weeks? We always have to ask this. In 2 weeks, are we talking about this at all?
I mean, we might, but I mean, the bottom line with all of this stuff is the Trump's base says, well, Trump's saying this is a nothing, so it's a nothing. People who hate Trump are like, look, she's incredibly credible. Also kind of crazy. There's something here in that, how did she get in there in the first place? How is she getting these recordings? Why are people not sort of like explaining? She came in and if you go into the White House, it's supposed to be pretty secure. The idea that she was being able to just record whatever and then take it out and now write a book and then do all this stuff, it begs a lot of questions that need answering, whether or not what she's saying is damaging to Trump or not. The bottom line is, President Trump, other than politics, only has one thing to be concerned about, and that's Bob Mueller's investigation. If there's nothing that results in criminal charges to people in his inner circle, I mean, I understand Manafort and Gates, but I'm talking campaign-related stuff. If that happens, that's a big problem. If it doesn't happen, it's sort of same old, same old. The big issue here is you've got a lot of people who are Democrats, particularly, very enthusiastic, very anti-Trump. That's going to have weight here in the midterms. We saw it in Ohio recently.
Hey, let's pick that up on the backside of the break. Coming right back, more with Cameron Smith from the R Street Institute at AL.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. Talk with my buddy Cameron Smith from the R Street Institute and AL.com. You want to see what it looks like when he's got his gaming headset on? That picture's on Twitter. I retweeted it also. You can find it at D Cameron Smith. I like that look. It's kind of a Muschamp thing, huh?
It says I'm serious about this, Sean.
Like it, man. Hey, we got to wear headphones in here. You might as well, too. Also, I got to ask you, and people can check it out on Twitter, are you leaving the Republican Party? Are you dropping your membership as a Republican? What's happening here, man?
Well, I wrote a column, and I told the Democrats, if they'll leave the Democratic Party, I'll leave the Republican Party. You know, I actually had some takers, but by and large, everybody was like, no, this is your problem, and to which I responded, walk me through this, let's have a discussion. That was frankly what my article was about, was this blind team sport mentality of the party structure is creating a lot of problems. I mean, the fact that on things like trade, Republicans and Democrats have basically inverted their positions over the last couple years suggests that this has very little to do with ideas. That our politics isn't about, you know, solving problems. It's about my team versus your team. And if that's what we're doing here, that's really stupid. And I don't really care too much about whether I'm a Republican or not, or whatever you want to call me. I just want to have solutions to problems and be reasonable in terms of public policy. I don't think a lot of folks are necessarily willing to join me just yet.
Oh, okay, I think this is very interesting, because a ways back during the Tea Party Revolution, people said they weren't so interested in the letters behind the people's name, but quickly that got co-opted to become mean Republican again, right? For a while, people say, well, I'm a conservative, I'm not a Republican. But that seems to have gone away. And I'm with you in the fact that the question is, you know, at least in, let's look even at state politics, what's better for the state? But you've got everybody wants to run to their corners. We're Democrats and we're going to oppose Trump no matter what. Or we're Republicans and we're never going to ask any questions. I am with you. The team idea, you know, I cheer for team. There's a team I cheer for on Saturdays, right? And Saturdays mm-hmm. in the fall. I cheer for that. That's a team. But in politics, I know the party that most represents my values, but that doesn't mean They represent every value. I lead with an idea and not a party. I get an email or a text a week, even now, saying, whose side are you on anyways? And I say, you know, of smart conservative politics for Alabama. You know, I'm not on any team. I mean, I like what you're saying. You're bringing up a good discussion.
Well, I tell people, if they say, well, are you a conservative or a liberal or a Democrat or Republicans? I tell people I'm just right. I mean, that's truthfully, I mean, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but I'm trying to get the right answers here. And I do have conservative roots. Like, I start with the idea that free people and free markets generally produce better results. But I'm not an anarchist. And so there's shades here. I mean, I look at different issues different ways. I try to apply the principles consistently. And what I got sick of was Democrats coming up to me, we're talking really progressive people, saying, you have a moral duty to leave the Republican Party because Trump is bad. To which I responded, okay, why? I don't agree with everything Trump does. The notion that any time that somebody a Democrat doesn't like is leading the Republican Party, I have to leave it. Well, that just does not make any sense to me. And conversely, the notion that I'm somehow a traitor or a sellout because I don't agree with Trump on everything. Well, guess what? People are going to have to deal with that because I am conservative. That means something for me. So when Trump does something that's like a pro-union trade policy that isn't good for America or the economy, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to be consistent here. It's a bad idea. And yeah, I understand we're going to disagree. We'll have the back and forth. That's cool. That's part of being a free person. And the notion that you just have to agree with everything or disagree with everything is bizarre and weird. And I tell Democrats, even if I wasn't a Republican, I'm still not going to be a Democrat. I mean, the notion that I then would just walk over to the Democratic Party and say hello, well, I'm pro-life, ardently so. And so the notion, I'm not welcome in the Democratic Party right now.
Right.
Like, if you're not pro-choice, you don't get to play ball with the Democrats. So this is a bizarre idea that I would leave the Republican Party and then automatically just kind of see the light of progressivism. That's just not the case. It's not going to be the case for a lot of folks. And there are a lot of us out here who have principles that may make us disagree with the Republican Party who still look at the Democrats like, yeah, I disagree with you a lot more.
Right, right. People, and that's the thing I get into with people. They go, well, you don't believe in, you know, this, that, and the other. I said, yeah, but the other 90% of the things I do, I mean, does that mean I have to pretend to believe in those other things against my conscience to make, you know, I'm not a team joiner anyway by my nature. So I mean, that's not going to tempt me in there. But yeah, I'm going to default to the group that represents the most number of my ideas, right? It should never be 100%. I'm worried when it's 100%.
Yeah, frankly, I would much rather see a Israeli-style government where Americans had to build coalitions with different types of ideological groups. Right now, the two-party system, we're basically, we have government sponsorship of two private clubs who, these are your options, have fun with that. And frankly, I don't enjoy it. I mean, I'll be the first. I love Chairman Lathan, for example. I think she's dealt with a lot of tough things trying to keep the Republican Party in Alabama together. But the truth is, you've got some generational differences. You've got some ideological differences mm-hmm. between folks who are generally pretty conservative. I mean, we'll call them conservative and libertarian. But that block, that's the majority of Alabama. It's the majority of the Southeast. It's half the country. And being okay with generally being a coalition of people with different sets of ideas, we need to embrace that. That's the big tent philosophy that keeps you able to govern. Democrats right now, oddly, profess to have a big tent. They're big in inclusion. They like, you know, acting as if they're all ecumenical. But like, what I'm seeing from Democrats is we're totally open-minded as long as you believe exactly as we do. And right. I say have a big tent Republican Party, bring in a lot of different kinds of people, and then let Democrats come up with their orthodoxy that no one else fits into, and they'll win in California and New York, and Republicans can figure this out on their own.
And win everywhere else. Okay, so you bring this modest proposal to the Democrats of Alabama and to the state of Alabama. You tell the Democrats that you'll lead the Republican Party once they do the same. And also, you suggest in your AL.com piece, to ban party identification altogether on ballots around the country. So voters show up at the polling place, and all they'll see is the name, right? No R, no D, no I, no L.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea that you show up at the polls, you look in, there's an R and there's a D, and then you're like, well, I'm more R. I'm going to press that button. I think that's a bad idea. I think at the end of the day, having a clue about who you're voting for, and I understand people are busy. Have voter guides at the polls where people can read about the candidates. Yeah, does it slow things down a little bit? Sure. Is that the worst thing that could happen, is people getting informed before they press a button? No. And I think that really forces people to consider candidates, to try to have at least some information when they get there. It forces candidates to make sure voters know what they actually think. Even if all the candidate's doing is saying, I'm the Republican, I'm the Republican, I'm the Republican, at some point somebody's going to say, well, what does that mean? And I like that. More importantly, I like the top two voter system.
How's that work?
That to me is the best way to go. It says, we're going to run a primary, but it's everybody. Everybody runs in the primary. And then the top two in the primary run in the general, period.
Okay, so that's what they call jungle primaries. Those
sure.
Kind of,
yeah. Louisiana has a version. Washington State has a version. I think there's one other out there. But the idea is, why should we give one guaranteed slot to the Democratic Party and one to the Republican Party? That's ridiculous. But if the top two vote-getters are both Republican or both Democrat, that's what the electorate wants. And so then give those options. I think it has a moderating effect. It's not perfect, but it, you know, in a state like Alabama, you're going to end up with two Republicans most of the time on the general election ticket. Democrats might not like it, but guess what? In California, you're going to have two Democrats at the top of that ticket. That's the way that happens now. And so it's a crazy Democrat and a centrist Democrat. And guess what? That centrist Democrat, you're going to see, for example, Feinstein is going to win in California, and she's going against another Democrat, De Leon, I think. And that is a good outcome for the voters of California, because they've got a more reasonable Democrat than it would be if, let's say, it was just a primary fix, and then you had a Republican who wasn't going to win. In Alabama, imagine that Kay Ivey's going against one Republican. So it's Republican versus Republican. The general matters a lot more than it is right now, where Walt Maddox is just trying to make it a race.
Now, you could probably sell this and say, listen, it'll be more efficient. It'll be easier voting because people, I don't know, maybe you sell it that it's going to be cheaper for the state. That's how things sell here.
It's less expensive. It's fewer races.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is it's fewer races. That saves us money. And if you're looking at the legislative majorities, I'm looking at Republicans in Alabama saying, hey, would you rather have two Republicans on the ticket in the general, or would you rather have a Republican and a Democrat and basically waste your time? Now, you know, I understand that many politicians are saying, well, I'd really only rather have one actual race than two. But as a voter in Alabama, as a voter in, frankly, any state in the country, you're better off when you get two meaningful choices at each stage of an election. And right now, we don't really get that, particularly in red states and blue states.
There he is. Cameron Smith, AL.com and the R Street Institute. People want to check out your picture looking like Muschamp. Where do they go?
Well, they can check me out at D. Cameron Smith on Twitter. I'm going to angrily throw this headset down to really get the full Muschamp. But, you know, I'm going to take some time today and contemplate the land shark. And you can find me on Twitter doing that.
Good. Y'all check out Tony the Land Shark and the reaction from Cameron Smith over there at D. Cameron Smith on Twitter. All right, we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. Talk about this proposal for funding LAD and funding USA Stadium coming up in just about 15 minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1253 FM Talk 106.5. Oh, no. It's Midday Mobile. You're serious? There we go. Story from the Sun UK here. This is going to be something. Headline, official Celebrity Big Brother 2018 lineup confirmed. I have not ever seen Celebrity Big Brother or Big Brother or any of those shows. I don't do good with them, but I have an idea. I know enough about the show to know the formula to the show, right? So you get the Big Brother reality show, which is far from reality as possible. It's scripted fake reality show. Sun Online has exclusively revealed that many of this year's big names include, and this is the Big Brother UK, so we may not know all these people, but you'll know one of them. Controversial TV presenter, a former soap star, and a psychic. The show's Eye of the Storm theme is focused on redemption, and all the celebrities will be asking viewers for forgiveness for past scandals. The list of the names is a closely guarded secret, but the Sun Online can officially reveal 13 stars going into the house. It's not that closely held. As well as a final mystery housemate set to shock celebs on launch night. Stephanie Clifford is that name, or as she is known when she's brought to the stage, Stormy Daniels. Stormy Daniels. On Celebrity, I guess the UK, the English Celebrity Big Brother. Stormy has been the quote here from the producer. Stormy is the biggest signing for this year's show, and she'll make headlines around the world. Bosses were so keen to get her on board, and it's a fantastic opportunity for her, I'd say. So there you go. Then there's some other people they list here that I have no idea. Dan Osborne, who is that? Sally Morgan. Oh, Psychic Sally. No, that's not Sally. I don't know who that is either. Psychic Sally. Do you know any of these people? Am I missing? Are we supposed to know these people? Gabby Allen. Do I know Gabby Allen? No? Okay. Fitness trainers. But so those are all the listings. But what they pointed out is for some reason on the English version of Big Brother, they have Stormy Daniels on the show. So there you go. Celebrity Big Brother 2018 lineup confirmed. And Stormy Daniels is on it, even though she's not English. And not. All right. 343-0106, 343-0106. That's the number you need to put in your contacts. Coming up next hour, number one, we are going to talk about the, I'll tell you what, we'll try to get a confirmed opinion from the city on exactly what they are asking for from the city council tomorrow. Mobile City Council slated to vote on this $10 million over time for the city to give to USA, give to South, to go towards the stadium build. Okay, that would then have an immediate payback of $2.5 million. The reason why they don't just hold back $2.5 million is the city doesn't have it. The city is in agreement to contribute $10 million over 20 years, all right? So structured payment there, where South will be bonding, I'm sure, the money, if they haven't already done it, to build the new stadium. So they'll give $2.5 million back to the city to refurbish that stadium, which is, the way I understand it, they're going to probably bulldoze it and build the smaller, like a facility like the Lip is. Now that's the plan. And then, so you put the new facility, ADA compliant facility in there where LAD is. I don't know if it'd be called LAD or what it would be called, but there would be the new structure there. The $10 million would go to the University of South Alabama, build the stadium on campus there that would be home to the Senior Bowl, Dollar General Bowl, other things down the road. What about that? Because now the story is, that was the original ask. And we talked to Laura Byrne here in a second from the city of Mobile. I'm going to get her to double down and get specific on what the city's asking. Because since then, it has been discussed of, well, this may possibly be money for LAD, money also for South, money for a project in Maysville. Money, you know. So what's actually going to be voted on, or at least tabled tomorrow if it's not voted on by the city council? And then we can kind of get our opinions, because there's been a lot of opinions swirling on this, and then I keep hearing tweaks and change to this. So we'll figure out what the mayor's office perspective is, what they are asking for, what will be in front of the city council. And so if they vote on it or don't vote on it, you know what it'll be. We'll get that laid out. Andrew calls next at 343-0106. And then John Sharp joins me. A story that I'd heard about a week ago, and now John's put it in print over at AL.com. Group out there objecting to the religious nature of a Mobile school employee meeting. We'll talk about that at 1:30. Y'all stay close.